On this episode of Still Loading, remember Gohan, use the pain of loss. That's not a good Goku voice. That's better. I'll just acknowledge that it sucks right in the middle there. Everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. We are doing the summer of PS2. We are still doing the summer of PS2. That is right. So this episode, we are talking about one of the few fighting games on this list. In fact, I'm trying to see if it is the first one we are talking about. It is the first one, yeah. So this is the first of a couple fighting games that we are doing for the summer of PS2. And we are talking Dragon Ball Z Budokai, one of the classics, at least one of my personal favorites. And with me to talk Dragon Ball Z Budokai is Blaine. Blaine, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. You were on once before.
Yes.
We talked Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah, hopefully we'll talk about a better game this time.
It definitely is a better game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Technically, you chose the game.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I definitely remembered it being better than it was. Or do you mean this one?
No, I meant Shadow.
Yeah.
I mean, you chose both of these technically.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that.
But so Dragon Ball Z Budokai came out in North America on December 3rd, 2002. I actually did not write down the developer for this one now that I think about it. Hold on, I actually have the case right in front of me. It looks like it was developed by either DIMPS, which is Digital Innovators, and published by Infogrames. I'm not 100% certain, but either way, it's a Dragon Ball Z game, and Dragon Ball Z is the shit. And we have not, I haven't done a Dragon Ball Z episode for this podcast at all.
Sick.
So I guess to start off, as we've been starting off with all of the other guests, what is your earliest memory or first memory of the PlayStation 2?
Earliest is probably when I went over to my friend's house. He already had a PlayStation 2, and we were playing Jack and Daxter, the Precursor Legacy.
So good.
Like, such a classic, such a staple. And yeah, we just spent so much time just investing in that one game.
Mm.
And then when Budokai came out, that was another one we just, you know, poured like all of our time into. Like, I couldn't tell you how many like Friday or Saturday nights we just stayed up just playing Budokai.
And are you a fighting game fan in general? Or is it just because, like, I know you're a big DBZ fan.
Yeah.
Did you get into this because of DBZ or because you like fighting games or a combo?
Mostly just DBZ. I really wasn't like a fighter game type person. I'm not really now because, I mean, I just feel like it's gotten too technical for some reason.
It's the same with me. I'm just bad at fighting games, which is funny that I'm having like a fighting game block for this summer of PS2 because the next, I want to say, two games are going to be definitely the next one is a fighting game, possibly the one after that, depending on how all this recording stuff shakes out. But anyway, continue.
No, so I would definitely say, just because it's Dragon Ball Z, you know, Dragon Ball Z when we were like, you know, teens, like, it was the shit.
I actually watched DBZ. I remember I first got into it because I remember waking up when I was in elementary school wanting to watch Pokemon before school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always get mad because they always stopped the same stupid episode before I didn't know why they would keep doing it. I'm like, why can't you just keep releasing more? But I remember it was always stuck on the same episode where I believe Charmander became Charmeleon, and that's where it would always end. And then it would repeat at the first episode of the show, and I would get so mad because I would keep waiting, like, what happens next? And then it never comes to it. But I remember waiting for Pokemon to come on, and Dragon Ball Z would be on before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being so mad at first because I'm like, this isn't Pokemon. Why is this stupid show on? I don't know. I don't understand what's happening. And I forget what made me start to finally watch it, but once one of the fight scenes started happening, I was blown away. Mm-hmm. And like, it was just this, you know, guys flying into mountains and, you know, mountains getting cut in half and energy beams and explosions. And it is the quintessential quote unquote, it's the quintessential quote unquote guy anime. Like, yeah. It is the, yeah. It's just ridiculous. It's the 80s in an anime. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think it came out in the 80s originally.
That wouldn't surprise me because I feel like it was so, super hype in like the late 90s, 2000s.
I mean, yeah, because it took a while for Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z to come over to the US.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure the entire run of DBZ was done in Japan by the time they started airing in the US, which is crazy to think about. I don't know all the dates off the top of my head, so the internet is probably going to be mad at me for that. But,
they'll live.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, so what got you into DBZ? How did you first get hooked on it?
I don't remember, like, if there was, like, a definitive moment where I was, like, into it. But I remember coming home from school and Toonami. You remember Toonami?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Toonami was on, like, as soon as I came home from school. And it would just, like, play Dragon Ball Z episodes. And I can't remember, like... I can't remember what my like after school show was, but after a certain point, it just became Dragon Ball Z.
Okay,
that's just how I got into it. Like I said, I can't remember if there was like a definitive moment where I was like, "Oh, this is so sick." I just was like, over time, I was just like, "Cool, I'm watching this now, and it's sick."
I actually looked it up. Dragon Ball Z originally came out in Japan. On April 26, 1989,
jeez.
And then went until 1996. So I think there was a little bit of an overlap. I don't know when it first aired in the U.S. From what I'm seeing here, I can't really see. But yeah, it first came out in 86, which is just... Or sorry, 89, not 86. First came out in 89 and aired till January 31st, 96. In the U.S., it first showed up on the first run syndication of GBZ was 96 to 98, and then Toonami was 98 to 03. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense because you're a couple years younger than me, not much. Like what, 3 or something like that, but
something like that, yeah.
So that makes sense when you like I would have watched it during its first run syndication from 96 to 98
because
I was right in the height of Poke fever in the US.
Yeah. I remember my first episode was actually the introduction of Cell.
Okay.
So that does make sense that was like right in the middle there.
I think I first saw it watching, I think it was during the Frieza saga because I think it was on Namek. I think it was on the planet of Namek. For those who don't know, we've been kind of talking about just our experiences with it, but Dragon Ball Z is an anime. Centers around basically a cavalcade of fighters who are trying to save the Earth from extraterrestrial threats and sometimes threats that happen on Earth, because I think one of the coolest sagas is the Cell Saga, only for the fact that it involves enemies from the first series, because there was Dragon Ball, then there was Dragon Ball Z, and then there was Dragon Ball GT, which has now since been written out of canon, because then there was Dragon Ball Z Kai, which was like the edited version, like removed all the fillers, just kind of shortened kind of like down retelling. The show. It was a retelling, and they did it better. And I think there's a new Dragon Ball series.
Dragon Ball Z Super. Super.
That Dragon Ball Super, which is now the official. I think that's supposed to wipe out GT.
Yeah, the official continuation
of the series. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's pretty much all you got to know as like an overview of the show, because explaining what there's so many different plot lines and there's so many different stories. So it's
like 15 movies.
Exactly. What's one of your favorite movies, by the way? Do you have one? I can tell you mine. if you need a moment, I can tell you mine.
There's a couple. I mean, there's a couple that definitely stand out. Like Tree of Might is
one of those
super classic ones that like... I feel like nobody talks about, but it's really underrated. Cooler's Revenge. That was the first one, right?
I don't know if it was the first one, but I do know what you're talking about, because that's Frieza's brother.
Yeah, the first Cooler movie, that was good. The first Broly was just classic, too, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I haven't seen the second or the third Broly movie, but I just remember that the first Broly movie was just like...
Like crazy.
It's Broly. Yeah, it's
crazy. My personal favorite is Lord Slug.
I haven't seen that one.
What? That was the first time I ever heard music from Disturbed and Deftones
as
well.
That's crazy.
Because they had Disturbed music on it. And I remember listening to it, and it works really well. Like, they did a good job of putting it in. But now whenever I hear it, specifically because this movie came out in like the late 90s and early 2000s, Lord Slug did, I think. Mm-hmm. At least in the U.S. it did. And that was right when Disturbed's first album hit big. So there's a lot of music from Disturbed that is just mixed in. They just kind of get rid of a lot of the swearing in Disturbed because it was kind of meant for kids. Even though it was a super violent show for kids.
Yeah, if you think about it, like, people get the crap kicked out of them in this show. And it's like...
a lot.
I don't think that it helps that it's like they're all super, like, human-looking people. Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, the villains that are clearly aliens, they're very, like, humanoid.
Like the Namekians.
Yeah, Namekians, like the green Cell, Frieza. People. Like, everyone just, like, has that two arms, two legs, like, one head.
Bipedal, I think, is the scientific term. I don't know.
I'm
going to
go with that. Yeah, everyone's, like, a bipedal, like, type person.
Yeah. I'm going to double check on that. Make sure I'm not, because I know there's going to be somebody who's like, you fucking idiot, it's not bipedal, it's, you know, tripedal or something. I know that's not a thing. Well, maybe it's a thing. I don't know.
So many people on just tricycles running around beating the shit out of each other.
Biped is an animal that uses two legs for walking. So that, bipedal. Yeah, yeah. I was right. Woo.
Go team. Yay,
so, Google. So, for confirming my... random guess. So Dragon Ball Z was a immensely popular show, hugely popular show, and it still is to this day. Like, it's one of those animes that has the longevity of it has just, it's never stopped. Like, the popularity of that show has continued to grow despite being over with. Mm-hmm. Like, Dragon Ball Z specifically, the popularity of that show has grown despite the fact that it really didn't air on TV for a long time.
Yeah.
And then when Dragon Ball Z Kai came out, it renewed interest in it and created more fans. And then Dragon Ball Z Super is just, you know, progressing that even further. Like,
exactly.
Dragon Ball Z is bigger than it's ever been, which is crazy to think when you think of the fact that it came out in the U.S. in the mid to late 90s. And in Japan in 89, like, that's wild.
Yeah.
You don't see something that old generally keep its popularity that long.
It's on its, like, 30-ish year cycle.
I mean,
like,
if it came out in 89, it just hit its 30th anniversary last year, which is crazy to think about. And also, I mean, I guess the other thing that we were just talking about it before, like, or I should say I was talking about it before I watched Pokemon at this time. Pokemon's probably the other anime that's lasted that long, mainly because of the games, but still, there's still Pokemon anime airing and being created, and it's still popular.
Exactly.
It is still a very popular franchise. And Sword and Shield, the newest one that just came out this past fall, that sold over 16 million copies so far.
That's crazy.
Which is closing in. It's not quite as many. I think, like, Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, the two biggest games on the Switch, arguably, are at like 17 or 18 million. One of I'm not sure which. But they've been out for 2 years now. Almost. Actually, Breath of the Wild's been out for almost three. It came out in like March of 2017. And Odyssey came out in the fall, like October, November of 2017. So both of them are closing in on 3 years. And they're only a million copies more than Pokemon Sword and Shield, which just came out a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That is wild.
So Pokemon is...
shows you, like, the, you know, the interest that it's still kept with fans over the years.
And to bring it back to DBZ, it's that, like, they, what is it? There was a Dragon Ball Z Fighters.
Yeah.
Z Fighters was an immensely popular fighting game that just came out recently. I have not personally played it. Have you?
No, I haven't. Again, I don't do too many recent fighters, because it's super technical, and I just don't have that ability to keep up.
Well, then let's use that as a segue, though, to jump into the actual mechanics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
What this game actually stood out to me is how it's a nice hybrid of old style fighting games, and some of the newer wave stuff that adds a little bit more complexity to it, because you could fly, you could do a whole bunch of stuff. It reminds me a lot of those fighting games where you could swap characters in and out, like, midway through. I don't think you can do that in Budokai, but
no,
I don't know. You know what? I don't know why it reminds me of that, because you can't do it. But for some reason, I just feel like this is like the middle ground between the two.
Yeah,
I'd actually have to. My friend, who's going to be on another episode for this, he's actually on one of these before. His name's Jay. He was on an episode of mine where we talked about fighting games, and he is actually he was at one point in time top three in the world in Soul Calibur.
Jeez.
Yeah, in Soul Calibur 4 specifically. So he knows fighting games. He understands a lot of, you know, spacing and timing, and he understands obviously the move sets and the skill sets change from game to game, and technically so does the spacing and timing, but the concepts that you use, it's almost like learning a language. Once you learn one, it's a lot easier to learn the other, because you've learned, because now you've understood the way to learn a language. And it's the same thing in fighting games. Once you understood how to become good at a fighting game, you can apply that across the board to other fighting games.
Definitely.
Doesn't mean you're going to be a pro when you start out on a game for the first time, but
you have a better understanding of how it all...
You'll be able to get better faster than other people would.
Definitely.
Schmucks like me, for example.
Me too.
But I, for some reason, I just feel like this is an in-between thing. But the first thing that sticks out to me about this game are the graphics. What about you? I'll go into the graphics in a second, but what about you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a step up from, you know, the games that the fighting games that existed before that. I feel like it's a lot smoother in a way, and more, I guess, like 3D kind of.
Well, it's definitely 3D, but it's, I mean, there were other 3D fighting games before this. Soul Calibur comes to mind, and so does, I don't know. The original Soul Calibur, there's also like Virtua Fighter, and there's a whole whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was even 3D Mortal Kombat games at that point. But I would say with this, I've never seen 3D graphics work so well with a 2D that's based off of 2D animation.
Yeah. There's just something about it that just works very well.
And I think the fact that when I first played this, it blew me away with how close it was to the actual anime. And there's been games that have done this since, but it looks like the anime. It looks so much like it. It's so...
like you're playing the anime.
Yeah. So I guess to dive into it, what are some of your favorite aspects of the game from what you remember? Because you played this a lot, like you said, as a kid. So what are your... I could talk about some of the stuff that I liked, but I'd much rather hear from you, someone who had more experience with it.
You're putting a lot on me there.
You don't have to. I mean, like, well, just some of your favorite things. It doesn't have to be anything like heavy. It doesn't have to be some insightful.
No, yeah, great. Yeah. It
doesn't have to be an epiphany. Just something that you remember.
I think I like how it kind of. Well, I was very new to fighting games at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, very new to, you know, gaming in general. Like, I had a PS1 before that, but like, you know, PS2 is the next big thing. Yeah, so I liked how you could, you know, control your favorite character and kind of play through the storyline, following the anime to, you know, a certain point in the anime.
I mean, it goes right up to the end of the Cell Saga, I believe,
exactly.
The storyline.
Yeah. So I just thought that was cool. And, you know, when I was however old I was playing that, 10-ish, I just thought that was super sick and just...
I'm with you on that, because specifically I like the fact that they changed up the gameplay as well. It wasn't just, I know a lot of fighting games, it's just the story mode is just a series of fights. It's just fight after fight after fight, and they have that type of stuff. But they actually try to add a little bit more gameplay to it, specifically. Yeah. Some of it to its detriment, some of it to its better. I like their training sequences. Actually, we were tinkering around with it. I actually think that was cool, because it gave you specific objectives within a fight to complete. So, for example, the first one that I played was, at least when we were playing it right before we were recording, you had to deflect Vegeta's ki blasts. And that was cool, because it teaches players, by playing the story mode, I like the fact that the story mode was meant to give players a mastery of the game.
Yeah.
Because it gives you all the different abilities. It teaches you how to go into, what was the thing where, it was a second training thing where you hit the square and triangle button at the same time.
Burst mode.
And that's where, and that felt like the anime, because there's a lot of scenes in the anime where you just see like a flurry, like the two combatants are just, it's a flurry of blows, and you just hear, and it's just fists and feet and random lines all over the place, and it's just, it's crazy. And you can do that in this game, and they turned it into a gameplay mechanic, which I don't necessarily like how they did it with the gameplay mechanic, but I like the attempt at it more than anything. I like the fact that they try to take a fairly complex thing in a show and like, how can we translate this over to gameplay? And they did decently well at it.
Yeah, definitely.
So the way it works in burst mode is that when two players are trying to essentially do a power attack, like you hit square and triangle at the same time, and you do a like a, sometimes you bring both fists up in the air and you slam them down onto the enemy or something like that. If you time it right and you hit yours the same time the enemy is hitting theirs, you'll go into burst mode. And burst mode is like that thing I said in the anime where it's a flurry of fists and feet and lines and everything's just going crazy. So when you're in burst mode, you have to take the two joysticks and rotate them clockwise. I don't know if you have to do it like synchronized or you can just like as fast as you can. Doesn't matter about the if they're synced up or not. But
I think it kind of follows the pattern of like the N64 Mario party where you just have to like smash the,
give yourself like a brush burn on your the palm of your hand. And so you have to do that with both joysticks, which is with both joysticks is where my issue with it comes in, because there's no comfortable way to do that with both joysticks. Maybe it's just because I'm a 30-year-old man. I don't have the dexterity of a 10-year-old boy anymore. That's a weird sentence to take out of context. But you rotate them, and then whoever, if you can rotate it well enough, I guess, that determines who wins the burst mode. And if you're playing against another player, then whoever rotates it well enough, you know, same diff. And then prior to that, it gave you, it taught you how to deflect ki blasts and whether you could deflect them back at your enemy or deflect them away from you off screen. So I really liked the fact that you could, that the gameplay wasn't just, okay, here's a fight, and now just beat this opponent. There, you have to do stuff like that. And even before that, the first fight of the game, you fight Raditz, just like in the show, Goku fights Raditz, which you find out later is his brother.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he's a jerk. And you find out, I always thought this was interesting in the show. So, the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, you find out Goku's an alien. He's what's called a Saiyan. In the original Dragon Ball, admittedly, I have not watched all of the original Dragon Ball. Have you? Do you know?
I don't think I've watched the entirety of Dragon Ball now.
So it's a long series, too. So I've not watched the entirety of Dragon Ball. I've watched a good chunk of it, but I've not watched the entirety.
Yeah.
So if this is wrong, let me know in the comments. Just let me know, because I'd honestly love to know. But I don't think I'm wrong for this reason. In the entirety of the first Dragon Ball series, just called Dragon Ball, Goku has a tail. And he gets a tail and it turns him into a giant ape. At some point, he gets that tail cut off, so he stops turning into a giant ape when he looks at the full moon, right? And that's why Raditz freaks out. He's like, why did you get rid of your tail? That's the most powerful aspect of Saiyans and whatnot. All well and good. But Goku doesn't know he's a Saiyan. So I would assume they didn't answer that, like, tell him in Dragon Ball. I assume no one in Dragon Ball knew that he was an alien.
I don't think anybody knew. I don't think he knew. Like, there was nobody to tell him.
Exactly. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm 99.9% certain they don't know he's an alien in the original Dragon Ball. Only for the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, Raditz tells him, I'm your brother, we're Saiyans, and we're aliens. We aren't from this planet.
You think there'd be some kind of, like, shock in that, but then they just, well, you know, beat
Goku
the crap out
was
of each
found in a pod by his grandfather, so there is some indication early on in the show that he's from another planet. But since he looks humanoid, they don't really think anything of it. But Goku doesn't know he's an alien. He always knew he was different, but he didn't know he was an alien until this thing. So he has to fight his brother Raditz. And that was, I mean, if you think about it, like, if someone who watched Dragon Ball from the very beginning, not Dragon Ball Z, but Dragon Ball, and they're like, oh, there's a new Dragon Ball series coming out. It's called Dragon Ball Z. I wonder what it's going to be like. And within the first two episodes, you find out that Goku's an alien. What a weird, what a crazy world to live in. Like, that's not something I could ever put my head into.
No, that, like having to follow it episode by episode like that.
Right?
Yeah. No, I don't know if, no.
Would you, I don't know if I, that's the thing that's kept me away from watching Kai. Not because Kai is bad. It's just there's so much, so many episodes. I know they cut down on it.
Yeah.
But it's still like, do I want to subject myself to another couple hundred episodes of this anime? I shouldn't say subject because I loved this show so much. Mm-hmm. I might actually watch Kai. I haven't watched
it. Do you mean Kai or Super?
No, Kai.
Kai, okay.
Because I want to rewatch all of Dragon Ball before I would watch Super.
Gotcha.
And I would rather watch Dragon Ball Z Kai because it is the better version of Dragon Ball Z. You know, gets rid of all the filler and all the fluff and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about Raditz brings me back to the point of what I was saying, how I like the fact that it's not just straight fighting for the story mode.
Yeah.
Once you defeat Raditz, the second part is you are holding Raditz and you have to line him up with Piccolo's special beam cannon.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Do you remember? Did you have a hard time with that as a kid?
I like completely forgot about that. And now that you remember, you reminded me of that. I'm like, yo, F that.
It's so hard.
That was so ridiculous.
I replayed it for this prior to you coming over. And you have to rotate the joystick to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, not both. Thank God. It's only one. But if Raditz is leaning to the left, you have to rotate it right or clockwise.
Yeah.
And if he's going back to the right, then you have to rotate it left or counterclockwise, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's so finicky and it's so difficult. And I just remember they have this really wide stance and Goku's holding him like his arms are like going underneath it. Goku's arms are underneath Raditz's arms and he's holding him back like by his shoulders, almost like backpack straps.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this really wide stance and they just kind of
like
crab walk
movements.
Almost. Like crab core walk all over it. Attack.
Z crab core. Here we go.
Oh my God. Imagine there would be a parody band like maybe you remember Attack,
yeah,
maybe like Kamehameha or something like that. And it's just Dragon Ball Z crab core
for those. Here's the pain of loss, ding ding.
Right. For those who don't know, so Blaine and I, we actually are, I'm not as much of a metalhead as I used to be, but
me neither.
Him and I both used to go to a lot of local metal shows, local hardcore shows. So we were into a lot of that style of music, and for a while in the mid to late 2000s and early 2010s, there was a genre of metalcore called crabcore, or that's not even like an official name. It's just a joke that came out of the community. And it's these guys who, it's super emo haircuts, and emo haircuts don't even really exist anymore.
No.
But super emo haircuts, super tight jeans. And when they would play
like
their
to
guitar,
the point where you don't know how they're walking tight.
Yeah, it looks like they have you would swear their feet are purple from loss of circulation.
We'll hear a lot about that, like in the near future. Like, oh, suddenly tight pants cause foot issues or something.
Oh my God, I can picture it now.
Wouldn't even surprise me.
But so when they would play their guitars, especially in music videos, they would like spread their legs really wide, almost like they're about to do a split, but they wouldn't do a split, and they would just crouch down with their legs super wide, far apart, almost like how a crab would walk, and play a guitar as low to the ground as possible, and then while also like angrily staring at you,
like bop their head a little bit, like
to the rhythm of the breakdown or something like that.
Like,
it was a wild time to be alive.
Man. That
the music's not awful.
No, it's not
like,
awful.
It's not awful, but it is very, like, their whole aesthetic and performance aesthetic is just strange.
Yeah.
And not my favorite.
I don't even know.
So that makes me want to see a Dragon Ball Z crabcore band.
I'll make it my life's mission now.
To do a DBZ crabcore band. Oh my
God.
That'd be so funny.
Oh, I need it.
They could perform at Chicky and Pete's and eat crab fries.
Oh my God.
That's a local thing.
Yeah,
Chicky and Pete's is a restaurant chain. We live in the Philly area, the greater Philadelphia area, so it's a pretty large area. But
go Birds!
Yeah, go Birds! Chicky and Pete's is like a chain of sports bars, pretty much, and they have crab fries are just regular French fries with Old Bay seasoning on them, and they're delicious.
They're fantastic.
They're so good, and they dip them in cheese sauce.
Oh, so
it's the best
good.
Heart attack in the world. But anyway,
I need it.
So those were some of the things I loved about the story elements in this game. The fact that it was so different from other fighting games, the fact that there was so much variety to it.
Yeah, it just wasn't like fight, 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 fight.
Is there anything else that sticks out to you about the game? I have a couple other things I wanted to talk about, but is there anything else that sticks out to you about the game that like you really enjoyed or you wanted to talk about?
It's kind of difficult to say because, I mean, like I said, like I played this game a lot when I was younger, so it's like it was a whole new world for me at this point. Like
a
I hadn't
whole
done
new
many.
World. Don't copyright me. Go on.
So at that point, I was like brand new to fighting games, and it like. It just, I feel like it opened up a whole different type of thing for me, because before that I'd played like, you know, single player stuff for the most part. So to answer your question, I have no idea.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, you're kind of talking about like what it means to you, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
Like in this game, it clearly meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
While you were talking there, I was opening up the inside the game case. If you have all the original stuff, it, you know, comes with a manual, but it also comes with a poster. Pretty awesome poster, actually, of like at least half of Goku, which I don't know why you only see half of him. I don't know why it wasn't the full thing.
Aesthetic.
But it has all of the characters on the back here with some of their special moves, like their quote-unquote preferred moves. That was awesome. You could go Super Saiyan in this, too.
Yeah.
Super Saiyan, let's be real. Super Saiyan was the first time any of us, like... Never mind, I was going to make a really crude joke. I was going to say we came in our pants, but it was pretty close. It was so, even though I said I wouldn't, I just did.
That's
but
fair.
Super Saiyan was and still is probably one of the coolest things about the Dragon Ball Z universe. So,
you always like remember the first time you saw it because you're like, dude!
Oh my goodness. And so for those who don't know, I haven't watched GBZ, Super Saiyan is... Anybody who is a Saiyan or has Saiyan blood in them, I believe, has the ability to go Super Saiyan. Just, you know, not quite as powerful, depending if you're half Saiyan or quarter Saiyan or something like that.
I think that the half Saiyans were actually stronger. Do you mean like...
Half human, half Saiyan.
Yeah, those were actually stronger, because I remember...
Really?
Yeah, they were going off on... What's his name? Gohan and Trunks saying how like, oh, you are so much stronger because you have the mixed blood.
Really? But apparently they can't go past Super Saiyan 2 or something like that.
Honestly, like, who can go past Super Saiyan 2 other than Goku and Vegeta? Goku, because
well, there's
he
only
just
two
has
pure
that, like,
Saiyans left. That's why.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, well, that's not what I'm saying, but you know what I mean.
So
I don't know how it works. I'm just saying that's all I remember. That like they hyped up Gohan and like Trunks mm-hmm. and all the other half Saiyans, and then for some reason they're still not as strong as Goku and Vegeta.
It's because Goku is Goku. He's the best.
That's what I'm
time.
Saying. Like, he was like the exception. But for some reason, the mixed races were totally hyped.
Oh, yo, you're 100% right. So I'm looking at this, the poster that I'm talking about, and has all the characters you can play. I figured we could go through and just talk about some of the characters.
Hell yeah.
Because even if you don't remember the fighting moves, since there is such a background in DBZ, we can talk about their lore and stuff like mm-hmm. that. That's actually, we'll start with Goku, because
okay.
we'll get back to what how you were correct about the half Saiyan and half human thing. But let's go with the main character first, Goku, known as Kakarot. So Goku is his Earth name, I guess, and Kakarot is his original Saiyan name before
yeah.
he was sent to Earth. Yeah, so he was sent to Earth as a baby. Goku was originally programmed to destroy the planet when he grew up. Fortunately, a head injury scrambled this order, and Goku instead became a good-natured, trustworthy warrior for the good side. And
shout out to head injuries. You should probably cut that.
It's the
that.
First time that I know, right? No, that's it. But that's the first time a concussion probably benefited somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to concussions.
Like, seriously, how messed up is it? Like, especially now with all the focus on, like, professional sports and football players dealing with depression because of CTE
yeah.
and, like, NHL.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild that they made – that there's a character that mm-hmm. benefited from a concussion. That's fucking crazy. So Goku is the main character. He's everyone's probably favorite. Actually, who's your favorite character? Do you have one? Mine's always was Goku. Goku.
I would probably say in the anime Goku. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Oh, Future Trunks though. They definitely like
Future Trunks is pretty
yeah,
badass.
The sword one. The sword.
He's
one.
On here too.
Yeah.
He
doesn't use the sword though.
No, really.
Not in Budokai 1. I know he does in 3.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if he does in 2. 2 is the one that like nobody talks about.
So in a lot, the other probably main character Dragon Ball Z, I would argue, is Vegeta.
Yeah, definitely.
So he's the other pure Saiyan. He's actually the prince of all Saiyans. He has a big ass ego. According to this, he's a Saiyan prince with a king sized ego. Has powers nearly as great as Goku's, but he often makes mistakes because of his pride. That is definitely true.
Yeah.
He initially tries to kill Goku, but when Frieza arrives on the scene, Vegeta joins the good guys, sort of. So Vegeta has always been kind of the anti-hero.
Yeah.
And eventually he's 100% on the good guy's side, but he's still always an anti-hero. He doesn't ever want to do the right thing, but he always ends up doing the right thing.
He doesn't want to admit he's a softy.
Exactly. Then hit. So those were the two probably main characters of the entire series. But Goku has a son named Gohan, who we were just kind of talking about. Gohan is a half Saiyan, and this is what I was talking about before, how you were 100% right. He's a half Saiyan, half human, has the potential to be the most powerful fighter in the universe. As a child, he trains with Piccolo, who we'll talk about in a little bit, and helps him defend Namek, which is Piccolo's home planet. As a teen, he defeats the seemingly invincible Cell. So yeah, you're right. He has the potential to be the most powerful fighter in the universe.
Look but for at me some now, reason, Ma.
The show never goes into that.
I know.
Not even... Did you watch Super at all?
I haven't watched Super, no.
Okay. For those who have, let me know if Gohan actually gets more powerful or not. Or does he just stop after Z?
Well, in the Buu saga, he just totally, like...
disappears.
Yeah.
Right?
Deflates. Whatever you want to call it.
You don't even get to the Buu saga in this game. So DBZ is broken up into a lot of different sagas. You have the Raditz saga. You have the Frieza saga. I think it's the Saiyan saga is the first one. Because it's Raditz, Saiyan. Vegeta, and Vegeta's right-hand man, Nappa. You know what? Let me just read off all these characters' names because we're kind of jumping around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we mentioned Goku, Vegeta, and then Goku's son, Gohan. You have Nappa, who is Vegeta's right-hand man. You have Piccolo, who is one of the defenders of Earth. He's a alien that's called a Namekian. It's like this green bipedal like humanoid type of thing. They're interesting because they can regrow their limbs. So like if their arm gets chopped off, they can regrow their arm. And then you also have Raditz, who you find out is Goku's brother, like we mentioned before. He's an evil Saiyan that tries to kill him early on. Krillin is Goku's best friend, and it's actually, spoiler alert for the nearly 20-year-old show, or 30-year-old show, the reason Goku's first able to go Super Saiyan is because Frieza kills Krillin, and he loses his mind in anger and goes Super Saiyan.
That's it. I can't take this anymore. I have to leave. This is not okay.
Oh, the spoiler. I was like...
I can't work under these conditions. Spoiler alerts everywhere.
You saw it coming. You've watched the whole show. You're fine. But you're right. We were talking off mic how the great Saiyan Man was in it, and he is, but he's not in part of the story, which is weird.
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters in this. They have so many. I'll just read off the rest instead of explaining what they are.
Yeah.
So Goku, Vegeta, Gohan, Nappa. Then you have Goku's friends, which are Krillin, Yamcha, Piccolo, Tien. Can you play as Chaozu? I hope not. Chaozu would be so lame. He'd be so lame.
He'd blow up.
I know, right? That's the only thing he ever does in the show. Once you get to the planet of Namek, there's a bunch of different bad guys. The main one is Frieza. He's the big baddie. He's the seemingly invincible, nearly succeeds in obtaining the legendary Dragon Balls and becoming an immortal terror. But Goku stops him, of course. He has a bunch of henchmen. They are Dodoria, which is this weird pink-looking...
I forgot about Dodoria. Oh,
he's
my gosh.
Horrifying-looking. It is not something that you enjoy looking at in the slightest. And his other henchman is Zarbon, which is a dude. He's like got this like light green-teal skin with long hair. It definitely painted him as like he's very... he's like a beautiful man, you know. He's got like almost Fabio looks,
very like Metro,
right? Then Frieza also has a group of soldiers working for him called the Ginyu Force, I believe. Yeah, and it's led by Captain Ginyu, and it has a guy named Raccoon. I'm looking at all the different names. Sorry, I'm trying to find them. Looks like the only one on here that you can play as is Raccoon.
I thought you could play as Ginyu.
You and Ginyu. Sorry, oh, Ginyu oh, okay. and Raccoon. But then you don't. have any of the three other
I thought that was weird.
The Ginyu Force. And then you then again goes to the Cell Saga, where you have Trunks, who is you find out later this was a crazy thing in the show. So yeah. Trunks is the son of Vegeta. They don't have his mom. Like, the mom is a main character in the show. Her name is Bulma, but she's not a playable character.
You can't play as her in this fighting game.
But Trunks comes from the future to warn them about what happens with the Cell Saga for them to prepare, because it's like all post-apocalyptic in his world. And you find out that Trunks is the son of Vegeta and Bulma, and that blows everybody's mind.
I don't know if it's ever, is it like touched upon in the actual like anime?
I mean, they tell you, they find out, but I don't know if they tell Bulma or Vegeta that they find out Trunks is their son.
Oh, you mean, okay. I have no idea. I think they figure it out, but like.
Well, what I was saying is like, it's by Trunks coming back from the future, to warn them in the past of what could happen if they don't defeat Cell and what we're about to talk, the androids. Then it seems weird, because doesn't that make it guaranteed that he's going to be born at that point?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, he was manifesting his own destiny. He came back to like, hey, I'm the son. I'm your son. I am Bulma and Vegeta's son. And Bulma and Vegeta are like, huh?
I don't know. Because
Bulma is disgusted by Vegeta, and Vegeta doesn't love anything.
Yeah.
But somehow they have kids together.
Yeah.
That blew my mind when I was a kid.
For some reason, I feel like there was some kind of like indication in the show that like, Vegeta ended up living with them or something, or like he was in a hospital in their care or something.
I think so, yeah.
Something along those lines. So I guess it's kind of like, hey, maybe something could come of this. And then Trunks shows up and it's like, hey, something came of this.
That's so weird. It's just, that's so surreal.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I can only imagine, like, that's just so weird. Anyway, so Trunks comes and warns them about the upcoming threat, which is the androids. And the androids is the thing I mentioned before about how Dragon Ball Z was able to tie back with the original Dragon Ball show, and this was how.
Right.
They were talking about how the main villain of the original Dragon Ball show was this thing called the Red Ribbon Army. And I forget the name of the leader of the Red Ribbon Army, but he, essentially as like a final fuck you to Goku and his friends, he created the androids to come alive after a certain time. So you have Android 17, 18, and 16, and 19.
Dr. Gero,
that's what it is. Android 19 is the first to visit Earth and handily defeats Piccolo, Tien, Yamcha, and a heart-diseased Goku. What? Luckily, Super Saiyan Vegeta is able to dispatch it. So they destroy Android 19. But then Android 18 and Android 17 have to merge with Android 16, I believe, to become Cell. I think those three
Cell has to absorb them, yeah.
And Cell
17
gets more
and
powerful.
18. I don't think that he has to absorb 16.
Yeah, you're right. He is killed by Cell.
Yeah.
18 is absorbed by Cell to become perfect Cell, and 17 is also absorbed by Cell. So that's what they had to do. So there's these androids that are more powerful than any of the fighters have ever like seen of human fighters. And they create Cell, and Cell's supposed to be the ultimate deadly creation, contains the DNA of the mightiest warriors of the universe, including Goku, Piccolo, and Vegeta. This lets him fight with their attacks and makes him nearly invincible, being he can regenerate himself from a single brain cell and create smaller versions of himself. So that kind of actually explains why Gohan was the one to defeat him, because Cell had Goku's and Vegeta's and Piccolo's and all their DNA, but not Gohan's.
That's true.
But that's wild, though. There's so many characters in this game. It's just, there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
There's so many to choose from. And I, for those who've never watched the show, I know this might have been a little confusing. I hope it wasn't too bad, just kind of running down the character list and talking about how they interact with all the different other characters. To be honest, I'm amazed I remember all of this, because I haven't watched DBZ in ages.
Yeah, it's definitely been a minute.
I guess, do you have any other final thoughts on the game before we wrap this up? Because I don't think there's much else to say. the fighting mechanics are pretty, I guess we didn't really go into the fighting mechanics, but overall they're pretty solid. You have punches, kicks, guards, and then you can also shoot energy blasts or ki. The combos are really, they tell you all the combos, which is kind of cool. So it lets you do, you know, all the moves that you remember from the show, like Kamehameha. You also get KO cans, and you can go Super Saiyan in it. I don't know if you can do a spirit bomb. Do you remember if you could do a spirit bomb?
That may be like a special move or something like that, but I can't remember if it's... It's been so long since I played an actual like Budokai game. Some of the things like kind of overlap. Like I know you can in the later ones, but I can't remember if you can in like this OG one.
Okay. But still though, this game, at least I have some final thoughts on it, but do you have any final thoughts before we wrap, before I issue mine, or like kind of talk about what my final thoughts were?
I think overall it's, you know, it's a solid game. Like it's good if you're just getting into fighting games back in 2002. Because, I mean, when I was playing it back then, like, you know, after a while, you know, you get it. It's easy to pick up. Like you said, they give you the combos for the special moves and stuff like that. So it's easy to pick up. And, yeah, definitely paved the way for the ones following it. But, I mean, overall, very solid start to a series. Very fun game. I don't think it held up very well, but...
I actually kind of disagree. I'll tell you why. So here's why. I think the controls work really well.
Yeah.
I think the graphics still look really good. True. I think the music is still... The music gave us both
the
nostalgia
music.
Trips.
Oh.
Like, it's just... It works. What I love about this game is... And here's why I think it holds up. One, I've never played a game that made me feel like I was playing the anime more closely than this. Now, to be fair, I haven't played a lot of the Naruto games. I haven't played a lot of any other anime-based video games. But there's the ones I have played, it just doesn't always feel the same. This feels like... It feels like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And Dragon Ball Z was meant to be a fighting game. It works so perfectly.
I'll give you that, yeah.
The sound effects feel like they're ripped straight out of the show. The, you know, the power up sounds, the sounds of when you quickly dart up into the air, that type of sound effect, sounds like it's directly ripped from the show. All the voice actors are in it from the show. The all the sound effects for the key blast sound the same as they do in the show. That you even hear that like that almost sound like Krabby or Kingler or something like that, but you know what I'm saying, like when you have an energy blast and you hear kind of like the wake of it, it sounded just like that. The sound design in general I thought was really good. I also liked the variety of the fighting. Like, this actually seems like a fighting game I'd want to get serious about, and that doesn't because the easy mode in this is actually easy, and it gives me a chance to understand the controls and understand distance and spacing. Most other fighting games don't have that.
They just throw you into the fire,
which isn't a bad thing, but it's not good for someone like me who...
Is not good.
Exactly.
I'm not like talking shit on you.
Oh, no, I'm very much
in the same bracket.
No offense taken. I'm awful at fighting
games. Yeah, I'm not good.
But no, that's why I think this game holds up, just because it feels like Dragon Ball Z still. It 100% feels like it. Like, all these years later, the aesthetic it was trying to go for is still achieved, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It does hold up. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's your opinion, though, man. If you still disagree, tell me why.
I agree. It definitely holds up. Like, it's not... And maybe it's because, you know, the fighting games nowadays have gotten very, like, advanced. But, yeah, you're right. For the most part, it does hold up. Yes.
Do you have any other things to say about it before we kind of finish this all up? Before we do give our plugs?
Not that I can think of. I mean... Yeah, no, I think I'm good.
All right, so that wraps it up for this episode of Still Loading. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Blaine, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Is there any place that you would like that people can find you on the internet? Anything you want to plug? Any social media stuff you want to plug?
Sure. I do photography. I don't have an actual website right now, but my Facebook page is facebook.com/roadtodawnphotography.
Awesome name, by the way. I love the name of your photography business.
Thank you. You know where it's from?
No, actually.
Total Kingdom Hearts rip.
Is it? Really? Yeah.
At the end of Chain of Memories, there's the... Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Anyway, go on.
at the end of Chain of Memories, I'm mainly going off of the PS2 version, so forgive me if I'm a little off from the OG Game Boy Advance one. There's a scene, like a, I don't know if it's technically a secret scene or just like a post-credit scene, where Mickey and Riku are walking along this meadow field type deal, and they come to a crossroads or like a fork or something like that.
Okay.
Where I think it's Diz, the red mask guy.
Yeah.
From Kingdom Hearts 2, is like, oh, you need to go left or right. You need to go to the dark, to the light. And instead they go to the road behind him that you can't see at first. And it's kind of like the middle ground. And Riku says it's the road to dawn.
Okay.
And I'm like, yo, that's kind of lit. Okay.
That's awesome. I love that series, but it is such an anime stereotype, the entire thing. But it's so good.
It's so good, but it's so difficult to keep up with.
Oh yeah. I've beaten 1 and 2, and I've beaten Birth by Sleep. It was in the middle of playing 358 over 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I still need to play...
That one was a little rough.
Yeah, it is a little rough. I still need to play also Recoded, but I don't really count that one all that much. Because it's not like...
Don't bother. We here at Road to Dawn Photography are anti-Recoded.
Understandable. I don't even think it's really... There's like that many story beats in it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's too necessary.
Then I have to beat Dream Drop Distance.
Oh, that was solid, but everybody hates it. I don't know why.
And then I have to beat the prequel to 3. It was like, what, 2.8 or something like that?
2.8, yeah.
And then I have to beat 3 still. I haven't even touched 3. I have the collector's edition, or at least the American, not the big fancy one, but like the middle of the ground one.
They like literally just announced the other day that they're putting out like a 10-game collection or something for all the PS4.
All of them. Every single Kingdom Hearts game. They've re-released so many of those compilation bundles.
And I've bought like 90% of them.
I have too. I don't know why I have.
I don't know. I made a joke the other year when they put out the Dream Drop Distance for the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want to start like a support group for people who like keep buying this stuff and just you don't know why.
I would probably be a part of it. I'll show you some of the ones that I have too. I have a bunch of them.
It's crazy.
But all right, so Road to Dawn Photography. Check that out on Facebook.
Have me on again, and we could just go into this for like a friggin' hour just talking about Kingdom Hearts.
I want to do more Kingdom Hearts stuff on this podcast. I'll have to have you back on.
I'm down.
As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also email me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do so in a couple ways. One, please give me a 5-star rating and review on whatever podcatching device you're using or app you're using. Help spread word about the show, and I would love to read those reviews. You can also support me on Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month helps the show grow and helps me continue to grow the show to do more with it. Check out the network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. You can go to podbeardnetwork.com to see all the different podcasts and content that's available from us. And the most important plug I have, check out the nonprofit organization I partnered with, the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. Please check out the bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that should do it. So thank you all once again for listening. Blaine, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
And I will see you all next time.